We're continuing in Likut Halachos, Choshemishpat Chelek Beis, Hilchas Umnin, Halacha Dalet, paragraph Chof Aleph we're up to. Now, paragraph Chof Aleph, Rav Nosson Zal says, V'hine kol dvareinu eile, everything that we've discussed in the past 20 paragraphs, heim b'nuyim al ha-toyra islam bira v'dabra b'simen lamed aleph, are all based on chapter 31 in Likut Maran, which begins with the words islam bira v'dabra. U'mevoy Rasham b'soif, it's written at the end of that chapter in Likutei Moran that the chapter was tied into a posuk in Chumash where it speaks about the Jews going out of Mitzrayim, and it says that Hashem took them in a very circumventing way. He didn't take them in a straight path through the land of the Pelishtim, but rather he made them go all around. So now the Gemara says on this posuk, Vayasev Elikim, Ein Hesebo Elasuda, that the word Lahosev means to be in a reclining position, which is what they used to do in the olden days when they ate. They would eat behesebo, like we do on Pesach, right? That reclining position on the left side. Ayin Shom, look over there in the Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal makes reference to this posuk. Ach lo zochinu lekabel mimenu gmar biura posuk al pi haTorah zois. However, Rabbeinu Zal, in the shiur that he gave, never went on to explain the connection between this posuk and the discussion that he had about Ratzon and about Nefoshos and about Nekudos. He didn't tie it together. And Rav Nosson Zal now is going to take the liberty of showing the connection between this pasuk, which Rabbeinu Zal quotes over there, showing how it ties into the discussion that he has over there. V'hanir elani yizdaiti bozeh hu ki vayasev elikim hu b'chinas suda kanal. The term vayasev hesebo refers to a meal. Hainu bechinas huachila vaparnoso, shetzrichin lahachniso michutz lepnim kanal. This refers to a person's eating, which is synonymous with parnoso. Va'ato noisen lohem es ochlam beitoi means va'ato noisen lohem es parnososom beitoi. Parnoso and achila are two words that are used interchangeably, sort of. So we had learned earlier that there's a concept of a Jew taking the parnoso from chutz and bringing it lepnim, elevating it to a place of kedusha. Veze nase al yedei derech hamidbar yamsuf v'chamushim. We said that how does a Jew accomplish that? How does a Jew take things that are chitzoni, person who earns parnosa by working with goyim, let's say, where the money that he's receiving from goyim is definitely not a holy item? Now, how is he going to take that item and use it for kedusha without making some type of what gives him the ability to bring this item in from chutz, to bring it into pnim? Rabbeinu Zal explained, derech hamidbor yamsuf, hamidbor zebechinas emuna, shetluya bedibur. The term desert over there refers to faith in Hashem, represents faith in Hashem, which is dependent on dibur. Shetzrichim ledaber hu emuna akdoisho bepe mole. Because when it comes to faith in Hashem, a person has to say it. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Oidia emunascha b'fi. I inform Hashem of my faith in Him by how much I speak to Him. To the extent a person's tefillah, the quantity of how much a person davens, and the quality of kavona that's in the tefillah, that's what shows how much the person really believes in Hashem. Because if you believe in Hashem, then you take Him serious. You don't take Him lightly. Then you're really thinking about what you're saying when you're davening. So therefore, Rav Nosson Zal writes here that the term midbar refers to medaber, which is the concept of emuna. Also, the pasuk says, lechtech acharai bamidbar bi'eretz lo zaruah. When Hashem talks about the faith that the Yidden had in Him when they came out of Mitzrayim, they didn't pack any suitcases. They didn't say, hey, where are we going to buy clothes? Where are we going to buy food? You're taking us out into the desert. They showed super faith in Hashem. The pasuk that illustrates that is the fact that the Jews were willing to follow Hashem into the desert, b'midbar, b'eretz lo zaruah, and they had confidence. So the term midbar refers to emunah. V'ze b'chinas yam suf ki emunah. Bechinas hadibur, bechinas malchus, hi bechinas yam, shekol hanacholim hoyolchem letoicho kiyodua. Emuna is synonymous with malchus. We mentioned this many times. We say it in davening in the morning. Umalchusoi ve'emunosoi lo'ad kayomes. Hashem's kingdom and His trustworthiness are permanent, forever. Those two terms are put together, malchus and emuna. And Rabbi Nazal says they represent the ocean. The ocean represents the Malchus, because there's a pasuk, Kol hanecholim hilchim alayam. All streams feed into the ocean. V'hayam einenu molei. The streams represent the other midos of Hashem, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, which all of them represent pipes that feed into the bottom one, the lowest one, which is the Malchus. In fact, the Zohar Kodesh says that the word El Hayam, Kol Hanecholim Hoilchim El Hayam, El Hayam is the letters Elokim, which is one of Hashem's names for Malchus, because there's a pasuk, Velikim Malki Mikedem. Hashem is our king from long ago. So that this name Elokim, which is El Hayam, refers to Malchus. And why is it called Yam Suf? Rav Nosson Zal says, V'zeh bechinas Suf, ki hu bechinas Achris, V'soif u'shleimus shel kol hamidois v'shel kol abriya kula. Because Emuna, which is synonymous with Malchus, represents the end. It's the end and the bottom and the completion of all the different midos of Hashem and of the entire creation of Hashem. Kemuva shom b'hatoiranal, as is brought in this chapter on Likutei Moharan, b'chinas bo chavakuk v'he'emidon al emuna. That the Gemara says in Makkos that each one of the tzaddikim tried to show a short form of the Torah. This one showed how 11 mitzvos, there are 11 things that could summarize the entire Torah. Another one broke it down to 6. Until Chavaku Kanovi came along and he said, I can show you how the whole Torah is found in one item. The tzaddik be'emunoso yichyeh. That with emuna alone, a person could be called a tzaddik. That's the one item, the base of the entire Torah. So that's called Yam Suf. The Suf Davar, the bottom line of the whole Torah, is emuna. V'chamushim, the pasuk continues to say over there, that the Jews left Egypt armed. V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Remember, he's explaining the pasukim in the beginning of B'Shalach. V'yaseh Elokim esom derech hamidbar Yam Suf. V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. V'chamushim upirish Rashi mizuyonim, that the Jews were armed at the time. Ze b'chinas tikkun abris. The concept of a Jew being armed means that he's pure in tikkun abris. Sheze ikur hakleizayim. That's the main weaponry of a Jew. B'chinas chagoyer charbecho al yorech giboyer hoitcho vadorecho. There's a pasuk in Tehillim where it says, strap your sword around your loins, your yerech. Gibor, hoitcho v'darecha. Gibor means strong man. The loins is the bris area. It represents tikkun abris. That's the main sword of a Jew. That's called cherev noikemes nekam bris, the pasuk says. Hainu, al yidei tikkun abris. Shaydei zeh zoichel emuna b'chinas Shabbos. Through a Jew having tikkun abris, which helps a person be zochet to emuna, because we explained earlier, there's a posik ubrisi me'emenes loy, that the level of emuna that a Jew has in Hashem is dependent on the level of tikkun abris. So through tikkun abris, which leads to shleimus emuna, which is the concept of Shabbos, that's what gives the Jews the ability to take parnosa, take money and things like that, and bring it in for Klal Yisrael. This is the concept of Hashem bringing Klal Yisrael, taking Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and bringing them into Eretz Yisrael, taking them from a place of chutz, and bringing them to a place of pnim, a place of kedusha. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds an additional point. Keep in mind that what we're saying now is connected a lot to what we've learned before in the past 10 or 12 shiurim. So to the extent that you have that, this is plugging in, this is clarifying bits and pieces that we discussed earlier. Gam hamidbar yamsuf merames al hanefoshois toivois hanasim mikisufim toivim. Rav Nosson Zal writes here that the term midbar yamsuf also is related to what we spoke about earlier, the concept of the good souls that are produced from the good kisu, from the good ritzoinos of Klal Yisrael. She'ikr yitziyosom el hapoyal hu al yidei adibur. We said earlier that these souls are created only in theory through our desires. It's when we speak forth our desires, when we put it into dibur, that's when these nefoshos are actually created. There's a pasuk, nafshi yotza bedabroi. My soul comes forth in my words, in my dibur. The dibur is what actually creates these souls live. Kama shekosu shom. V'zehu gam kein b'chinas yamsuv. So midbar refers to the dibur of these ritzonos toivos. Yamsuv. Ki heim b'chinas soif ushlemus shel kol hadvorim. This dibur of a Jew's ritzonos toivos represents the completion and end of everything. Kihem mitzayrim oisiyos haTorah leTov, because that's what formats the letters of the Torah in a constructive way, in a good way. Shaydezeh nigmorim v'nishlomim kol hadvarim leTov. That's what finishes off everything in a good way. Ube'emes hakol echod. Now Rav Moshe Zal is going to tie it all together. Rav Moshe Zal says the fact is that all of this is really one, meaning ki tikkun hu emunah. The tikkun elu hanakudos toivos hanasa mi'anefoshos u'kisufim toivim hakol echod. The job of a Jew fixing up his emuna, improving his emuna to bring it to a level of shleimus, and the act of making a tikkun for these vowels that are produced from the ritzonos toivos is all really one and the same. Ki kol ma sheyesh lehaodom emuna biyoser, because naturally, the more faith a Jew has, bevanai hu koisef umishtekek biyoser biyoser kisufim toivim, the more it gives him positive desires that he wants to please. The more a person believes in Hashem, the more he wants to do for Hashem and he wants to please Hashem. Ki yodea she'ein shum tachlis bo'ilom kiem lasayis ritzani yisborach, because he understands, the more he believes in Hashem, the more he reaches a realization that his only purpose in this world is to do what Hashem wants. There's the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, kol ma shebora kodesh baruch hu bo'ilomoy loy broy elo lechvoidoy, that everything Hashem created, he created for his kavod. What is kavod? Kavod is ratzon. The Gemara says, ritzonoi shelodom zehu kvoidoi. If I tell you, please pick that thing up from the floor, and you listen to me, you do what I said, that's called showing respect to the person. If you ignore what a person says, then it shows you don't respect them. So by us fulfilling Hashem's ratzon, we're being mechabed Hashem, which the Gemara says is the whole purpose of creation. That's the whole basis. And that's dependent on how much a person believes in Hashem. To the extent that a person believes in Hashem, to that extent he wants to do what Hashem wants. Rak, sheyesh loy menios v'ikuvim ravim al zeh. However, we understand that there's all kinds of obstacles and problems that make it difficult for a person to do what Hashem wants. Al kein, bevadai hu koisev v'choymed u'mishtoikek b'chol eis, mosa yizke lagil al zeh, liyos kirtzon yisbar v'emes. Therefore, the person is in a constant state of deep yearning and desire, wishing that he could do what Hashem wants. If he really believes in Hashem, then all he wants to do is what Hashem wants him to do. But there's problems, it's not easy. So whatever he can do, he's thrilled to do. And the 99% which he can't do, he's dying to do. He wants desperately to do it. U'bishvil zeh emuna hi shleimus kol hadvorim. And it's for this reason that we say that emuna is what makes everything complete. V'chol ha-Torah, v'chol ha-brochois, v'ha-hashbois, ha-koil enoi nishlam kiim al yidei emuna. And the entire Torah, and all the shefa that comes from Hashem and everything, only reaches a state of completion through emuna, kemavur shom betchilas ha-Torah nal, as was explained in this chapter on Likutei Moran. Rabbeinu Zal showed how Hashem runs the world today, usually, through teva, through nature, in a sense. Nature is defined as the 12 mazolos, the 12 constellations of the stars, and the Zion Koich Veleches, the 7 planets, as they're called. That's basically what represents nature in this world, and Hashem runs the world based on those things, those symbols. The Gemara says that when a person gives tzedakah to a poor person, he receives 6 brachas. And the Gemara says, "V'hamafaisoi bedvorim." If a person says a good word to a poor man, he makes him feel good by telling him something nice, he gets 11 brachos. So Rabbeinu Zal asks on Likutei Moran, what's with the six? So Rabbeinu Zal on Likutei Moran shows how tzedaka is what runs the world. It controls the world. Because it controls the galgalim, the heavenly spheres. There's a pasuk in Chumash where it says, ki biglal had, where it talks about the mitzvah of tzedaka, it says, ki biglal hadavar hazeh yivarechecha Hashem alekecha. Because you've given this charity, Hashem is going to bless you. The word biglal, the Gemara darshins, galgal hu hachoyzer boilam. The Gemara says, a rabbi once said to his wife, make sure you give that poor man money so that they'll give your kids money when they need charity. So she said to him, what are you, cursing me that our kids should be poor? He said, I'm not cursing you nothing. The panos in the world is like a wheel. One minute a person's on top, one minute the family has money and they can buy things, and the next minute the wheel gives a turn, and family number two is on bottom. The next minute the wheel gives a turn, and two is on top and one is on bottom. That's the way it works. So, that's what the Gemara says on this word, ki biglal hadover azei vorechecho, the Gemara says, galgal hu hachoyzer boilam. So Rabbeinu Zal writes on Likutei Moran that tzedakah is what controls the galgalim. Tzedakah controls it, because by tzedakah it's written, ki biglal. So Rabbeinu Zal says, if that's the case, why does the Gemara say 11 and 6? It should be 12 and 7. 12 and 7 is the galgalim. Rabbeinu Zal answers, this is to show us that the tzedakah is choser without the emuna. There's something that's mashlim the tzedakah. Tzedakah alone isn't enough. Because the Gemara says, shemesh b'shabbos tzedakah lo aniyim. That the ikar tzedakah is on Shabbos. Shabbos you don't have money. Shabbos you're not giving out money. Where's the tzedakah? The answer is the emuna that a Jew has on Shabbos. And that he walks around without a penny in his pocket. Person, a goy, would say, what kind of normal person walks around with, how could you walk around without money? What do you do if you need something? And a Jew knows that he believes in Hashem, that on Shabbos, without a penny in my pocket, Hashem's taking care of me. How? It works. Religious Jews know it works. They've done it every single Shabbos of their life. A goy, lahavdil, can't, or a non-religious Jew sometimes can't imagine how it's possible to walk around for 24 hours without a penny in your pocket. You know, that kind of thing. So Rabbeinu Zal shows there that the emuna is what's mashlim the tzedakah. The emuna, there's a pasuk, v'hem in b'shem, v'yachsheveho lo tzedakah. By Avraham Avinu, it says, he believed in Hashem, and Hashem considered that an act of tzedakah. So emuna is that item which completes the 11 and the 6. It makes it 12 and 7. And Rabbeinu Zal proves it from a Gemara. The Gemara says that when it came to the Torah, the Gemara says at the end of Makos, that Dovid HaMelech came along and he wanted to show how he could summarize the whole Torah in 11 points. And he lists them. There's a chapter in Tehillim where he says, Hashem, miyogor ba'alecha, who's worthy of living in your tent? And he lists 11 qualities, 11 qualifications. Then another rabbi came along and he broke it down to 6. And then the Gemara says, and finally Chavakuk Hanavi came along, and he brought it down to 1. V'tzadik b'emunoso yichye. So Rabbeinu Zal says, look at this. By the Torah, which runs the world, you have the 11 and the 6, and what's the 1 which completes the 11 and 6? Emuna. So too by the tzedakah, where you have the same 11 and 6, what's mashlim it is the emuna. Emuna is the shlemus of everything. That's what completes it. That's what makes it whole. That's what Rav Nosson Zal is referring to here. Just like we explained earlier, that when Hashem created the world, Hashem created it incomplete. We say in Kiddush, Asher bara Elokim la'aseh. Bread doesn't grow on trees. Clothing, you have to go through all kinds of process. And even, look at this table. Did Hashem make this table the way it is? No. Hashem made raw wood. They had to work on this table for hours or for weeks to get the wood into this shape and to mine the metal that's the legs of this table and to get the screws, put it all together. So we see that what Hashem created was incomplete. How are we mashlim the Bria? With our emuna. The emuna is what's mashlim the Bria. Rav Nosson Zal writes, that's why a craftsman is called uman. Hilchas Umnin we're learning now. The name of a craftsman, a person who takes wood and makes it into a table, or a person who takes gold and makes a ring from it, is called an Uman. Why? Because he's Mashlim the Bria. He finishes what Hashem left unfinished. And the Shlemus of the Bria is Emuna. That's what's just like Hashem created the world in 6 days, the Gemara says, and yet the world was chaser, it was missing something, it was missing menucha. Bo Shabbos, bo menucha. On the seventh day, Vayechal Elokim Bayom Hashvi. On Shabbos, Hashem created the Bria. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is called the Ois Emunah. The Gemara says, if a person believes in Shabbos, he gets credit for believing in the whole Torah. If a person doesn't keep Shabbos, it shows that he doesn't believe in any of the Tayyat Mitzvahs. So we see that Emuna is the Shleimus of Kol HaDvorim. Ki al yidei Emuna shenimshach al yidei koyach HaTzadik. Because it's through the Emuna which we receive from the Tzadikim, the Tzadik, the Emuna Sayechia, al yidei Tikkun HaBris, via their Tikkun HaBris, because we mentioned the Pasuk Ubrisi Ne'eren Esloi, that the Emuna comes from Tikkun HaBris, depending on how solid a person is in watching their eyes, not looking at what they're not supposed to look, not doing what they're not supposed to do and taking up risk. That's what gives the person a higher quality of emunah. That's what gives that person good ritzainos and the ability to create these good nefoshos, which represent
through the kisufim and the nekudos, which are metzayer the oisis haTorah for good, sheyasu pulos tovos poilon. Kize iker tikun ushleimus shel haTorah v'shel kol hadvorim sheboilam. This is what brings all items in the world to a shleimus and the Torah to a shleimus. Shemesnahagim u'miskaimim al yodo. All the different items in the world which are controlled by the Torah. Nimtza shetikun hakisufim toivim v'tikun heamuna hakoil echod. Rav Nosson Zal says, so we see from here that the tikkun that's accomplished by the good desires of a Jew, which creates the nekudos toivos, which when attached to the letters of the Torah, format the letters of the Torah in a positive way, in a constructive way, that tikkun is dependent on the tikkun ha'emunah. Depending on how much a person has improved his faith in Hashem to a shleimus, that's what gives a person ratzon tov. Because if a person, we said it before, if a person really believes in Hashem, then they want to do what Hashem wants. And whatever they can't do, actually do, they want to do. In other words, even to the extent that a person's limited, I wish I could do it, but I can't. So at least he's wishing. He's wishing he could do it because he really believes in Hashem and he believes in Olam Haba. He believes the level of schar that there's going to be for every mitzvah. That's what gives the person the ritzonos. It's the emunah that gives the person the ritzonos, which create the nefoshos and the nekudos, which are mashlim the Torah, mashlim the oses haTorah. Ki heim mashlimim umesaknim hakoil al yidei shemetzayrim oses haTorah letoiv. Because it's the emunah and these ritzonos toivos, which result in the letters of the Torah being formatted letoiv, that's what brings a shleimus to everything. And Rav Nosson Zal says, based on what I've just explained, you can see the connection between what seems to be two paths that Rabbeinu Zal is describing in that chapter on Likud Imran. He's discussing Tikkun HaEmunah, and he's discussing this whole topic of Rotzoin and Kisufin, and Rabbeinu Zal didn't show the connection for them in Likud Imran. Here in Likud HaLochis, Rav Nosson Zal shows how they're both actually one and the same. The Tikkun HaBris we said because it's brought that, because which person, what kind of person gets to have Ritzonos Toivos? A Tzadik. The Tzadik Be'emunah Seyichya. The Tzadikim are the masters of Emunah. They're the ones that have this Ritzon Toiv. Why? Dependent on their Tikkun HaBris. Because there's a Pasuk Ubrisi Ne'emen Esloi. That the Emunah is dependent on the Bris. To the extent that a person is Shomer HaBris, to that extent, that's what strengthens his emunah in Hashem. And to the extent that a person is weak in Tikkun HaBris, he's weak in emunah. That's why we have the topic of Tikkun HaBris. Kriya Shema is our declaration of faith in Hashem, right? Right? The Shema Yisrael. In the Shema, we have Eloi Sasuru Achrei Levavchem V'Achrei Nechem. A person would ask, what does that have to do with believing in Hashem? I shouldn't look at women? That has something to... The answer is yes, exactly.
because it's a person's solidness in that area of frumkeit that'll have bearing on his level of emuna Hashem. The Zohar Kodesh says that Rabbi Shimon in Parshas Kedoshim, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochezal was once walking with his Talmidim, and they saw a group of women walking in front of them. So he said to them, let's hurry to go in front of them, because the Pasuk says, Al tifnu el hoelilim, don't turn to look at idols. What do you mean, a woman is an idol? The answer is no. But if a person makes mistakes in this area, if a person goes against Hashem in this item of looking at what they're not supposed to look at, that's like worshipping idols. It'll weaken your faith in Hashem. The Gemara says that when it came to the Egel HaZov, the only reason why the Jews loyovdu avodah zarah elo lahater lahem arayos, that these two go together. These two are a team. Exactly. The women then used to wear the avodah zarah, and they would get the person first involved with them, and then at the last minute they would say, now bow down to this, otherwise I won't complete the act with you. That kind of thing. These two always go together, the emuna, the issue of emuna, and tikkun abris. Continuing, v'zehu shenismach vayisu misukois achar parshas vayaseh v'likim. This is why, if you look in the Chumash over there, where it talks about Hashem taking the Jews through this circuitous route, right afterwards it says that they traveled, the Yidden traveled from a place called Sukkos, and they came to something else. What's the kesher between the sukkah and this vayasev? Merames al mitzvah sukkah hakdosha. That pasuk is alluding to the mitzvah of sukkah, shezochu Yisrael taketh b'yitziyosam in Mitzrayim, which the Jews were zoche to very shortly after they left Mitzrayim, vehekif shesivavon vehekefon banani akovoy, whereby Hashem surrounded the Jews and covered us with these special clouds, Shem Bechinas Sukkah, which represent the Sukkah. The 7 days of Sukkot that we have, according to one opinion in the Gemara, correspond to the seven clouds that traveled with us. Kama Shekoso Shom Tekev Beparsha, Vahashem Hoylech Lifneim Yoimam Ba'amudonon. As it says right over there in Bishalach, that Hashem traveled in front of the Jews with a pillar of cloud, and in back of them, etc. And this whole topic of the clouds and the sukkah and all of these things is written right next to the Vayase Velekim, which symbolizes achila and parnosa. Lahachnis haparnosa michutz lefnim, because this is all referring to that level of tikkun that a Jew has to make in taking the parnosa from chutz and bringing it pnim. Taking it from a place where it has no kesher to Kedusha, taking money from a business, you know, that's selling something that's not related to Kedusha, and using that money for mitzvahs or things like that, where you're bringing it to Pnim. Because we learned earlier that this is one of the things that the mitzvah of sukkah is supposed to help a Jew accomplish. To be able to have this level of being able to... So we eat in the sukkah. The sukkah is that midpoint between chutz and pnim. And by being mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah, that's what gives us the ability to take those things from the chutz that can be brought in and to bring them in. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, let's go back to our topic. The topic that in Shulchan Aruch that we're in the middle of discussing is the topic of Shomrim, the different types of watchmen. And Rav Nosson Zal now is going to explain the concept of the Shomrim related to that chapter in Likut Imran that we're in the middle of discussing. Now, one of the things that was discussed in that chapter in Likut Imran that we didn't touch on yet, which we're coming into right now, is specifics related to the topic of Tikkun Abris. In this chapter, Rabbeinu Zal, chapter 31 of Likut Imran, Rabbeinu Zal says that there's two levels of bris. There's bris ilo'o and bris tato. What he calls bris ilo'o, the higher level of Tikkun Abris, is a person's level of purity, kedusha, in dealing with men and women, in dealing with all of those types of laws. What he calls the bris tato is a Jew maintaining a certain level of purity when it comes to isur v'heter, eating kosher, things like that. Eating kosher, not mixing milk and meat, all of those things, which are called bris tato. That's also an aspect of tikkun abris. And Rabbeinu Zal there makes reference to the title tzaddik and the title lamdon. Tzaddik is the title of a person, yosef ha-tzaddik, who passed an extraordinary test with a woman, that's tzaddik. Lamdon is usually a person who's learned in Gemara, Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. No, there also it's six. Just like the bris, the sphere of Yesoid is the sixth sphere, the six branches of Torah Shebal Peh, which are Osur, Mutter, Kosher, Posel, Tamei Tohor, are also a concept of Tikkun HaBris and Shmiras HaBris. The whole Torah is called a bris, a covenant. And Rabbeinu Zal in that chapter discusses these two and emphasizes how each one without the other is lacking. And for sure, if the person has the knowledge of Shas without Tikkun HaBris, then without being pure in the laws of Shmiras HaBris with women, then for sure, he's missing the most important thing. This is a little bit of introduction to the next piece that we're going into now. The Nachzor L'Inyan Shoimrin, paragraph Chaf Beis. Rav Nosson Zal says, let's get back to the topic of the watchman. V'ze b'chinas ma shehasoicher dinoi kishoimer socher, shechayev b'gnei v'avavedo, u'potor bo'insin. One of the types of watchman is a soicher. If someone rents a boat from a place that has boats, he's responsible to watch that boat that he rents. And if any damage occurs to it, if the damage is in the form of oinsin, some strange accident happens to the boat, where he was handling it, you know, using it in a normal, regular way, and some strange thing happens, a shark shows up, you know, and bites half the boat, the soicher is not responsible at all. But if for Gneva Vaveda, if the boat is stolen or lost, then the soicher is responsible. Ki ikar hashmiro mimazike almo hu al yidei hatzadiku emes. Because we mentioned earlier that the main ability to protect things from all types of destructive forces comes from the tzadik. Shehu bechinas bal nefesh. The tzadikim are the ones who have the most good desires, which means they're the ones who produce the most good nefashos. And therefore they are called Baal Nefesh. Shemimenu nimshochim kol hakisufin digdusha, shem bechinas havolim unafoshes toivim. They are the ones from whom comes forth all kinds of holy desires, which result in good nefashos and good vapors. Sheheim metzayrin oisies hatorah latoiv. The tzaddikim are the ones who format the letters of the Torah in a way that's positive for us. V'ze b'chinas shir shel pegoyim. This, Rav Nosson Zal says, this is the concept of the special chapter in Tehillim that's called the song of those chas v'shalom who would want to do harm. A special chapter in Tehillim that speaks about the Jews crushing all the klipos and tumas, which is yoshev v'seser elyoin b'tzel shaka yisloinon, which we say on Shabbos morning. Shenemar shom, where it says in that chapter, Yipoil mitzidcho elef urevova miminecho, may Hashem knock down from your left side 1,000 and from your right side tens of thousands, referring to the klipos that surround a person, all kinds of mazikin. Elecho lo yigosh, they will not be able to approach you. Lo yisuna elecho ro, no bad will be able to befall you. Al shachal vofesen tidroich, you will step on all the different types of snakes and scorpions. Tirmois kefir v'sanin, you will crush the lions and the serpents. Why? Kivi choshak va'afalteu. The Hashem says, because your whole desire and yearning is to me, and therefore I will save you, I will rescue you. Kivi choshak va'afalteu. Rav Nosson Zal says, Kivi choshak daiko. Note that that's the punchline here. That because of the fact that a tzaddik has cheshek for Hashem, his whole yearning and his whole desire in life is to please Hashem and serve Hashem, that's his saving grace. That's what protects him from all kinds of destructive forces. Shehamizmor mevayer al yidei ma yinotzem likol hapegoim v'yizke lidroich al kol haklipois u'mazik yalmo. This chapter explains what gives a tzaddik the ability to be protected and saved and be able to stomp on all kinds of klipos and destructive forces. Bebechinas, as it says, al shachal vofesen tidroich, you will step on these wild animals. Hakoil yizke mitam kivi choshak. The tzaddik is zoicha to this as a result of his good desires. Shayidei goydol hacheshek v'hakisufim digdusha shechoshek bo yizborach. As a result of the intense desire and yearning that the tzaddik has for Hashem, alidei zev afalteyu. That's what gives him, that's what protects him and saves him. Ki kol hamazike yalmo iker yinikosom mikisufim vavolim roim. Because all kinds of destructive forces that exist in the world draw their strength and their power from all the bad desires that people have. And when those bad desires are pumped out into the atmosphere, they form all of these destructive forces that do harm to people. Shehem nefoshois loy toivim. This refers to all the bad nefoshois. Shehem heim hamazikim rachmanotzlam. They are the klipois. Just as the Gemara itself says, every time a Jew does a mitzvah, he creates a malach toiv. He does an avera, he creates a malach ra. Malach ra means a klipa, a mazik, a destroyer, which comes from an avera or comes from a bad desire, depending on the level of intensity in the of the desire, and especially if it's put into words. Kiheim mazikim begashmias veruchnias, because these forces cause harm both in gashmias and ruchnias. Bebechinas yesh hevel asher nasa l'oretz. There are these vapors that go out into the world that cause destruction. Ki elu ha'avolim hem bechinas nefoshois shehoilchim u'ma'oirin l'ra chas v'sholem. Shemishom kol ha'zekes rachmanotzlan. These souls that were created by people's bad desires, they go into other people and they arouse those people to do sins or to have evil inclinations. V'alkein ikar hachno'osam u'bitulam hu'alidei ha'tzadikin v'haksherim. And therefore, the main ones who have the ability to be machnia these mazikin, to be protected from and to protect these from these destructive forces, are the tzadikim and ksherim sheyesh lohem kisufim toivim, who are the ones who have the real good desires, shehem nefoshos toivim, which means they're pumping out these good nefoshos, shemoirim hoilam latoiv, and they're the ones who inspire people to do good. Shehem machniim u'mevatlim kol ha'mazik yalmo. They're the ones who destroy and subdue all the destructive forces in the world. Bebechinas al shachal v'ofes en tidroich, as it says, you will step on these wild animals, kivi choshak, because your yearning, your cheshek, is for Hashem, v'afalteyu. Hashem will save you. That it's not just when you have another person actually talking to you and trying to convince you to commit a sin, but sometimes it's happening where you don't even see it. The fact that people have ritzoinois, good ritzoinois or bad ritzoinois, ritzoin, we've said before, is synonymous with nefesh. A good ritzoin means creating a good... And the Zohar HaKadosh says, "Less re'usa tavo de'is avid." There's no such thing as a good ritzoin going lost. So what do you mean it doesn't go lost? If a person has a desire to learn, and they don't learn, what happens to that desire? The answer is that desire is floating around in the atmosphere. And sometimes the right person will hook it, and it'll go inside of him, and it'll give him the motivation or the extra motivation that he needs to learn or to daven or to do mitzvahs. This is one of the reasons why it's important for a person to pick the company he chooses to keep, the neighborhood that he lives in, the shul he davens in, the place he goes for a shoshana, you know, because besides what he's going to pick up that he sees, there's a lot he's going to pick up that he doesn't see even. Just if they're from the ritzoinos alone, the positive ritzoinos, or chasash on the opposite.
When people are moving in traffic and things like that all the time, like you take a place like Meir Sharon or Gula or something, so you have all the time traffic coming in from outside and Arabs coming from there, so it's very difficult to find a place that's very pure.
That's why Rav Nosson Salat mentioned a few pages ago that throughout the year, a person is supposed to stay indoors usually. That the norm for a yid is to stay indoors, because he said that on the average, laws of averages, most of what's in the atmosphere throughout the year is bad news, is junk, is bad ritzoinos. He said the only time in the year when there's a mitzvah to go out is Sukkos. Why? Because on Rosh Hashanah and Aseres Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur, we've pumped out so many ritzoinos toivos, all the yidden with their davening, with their tekiyah shofar, with all of that stuff, have pumped out so much hevel dikdush and stuff, that then it's safe to go out a little bit in the sukkah still, not out in the woods, just living out with nature, but in this, in the protective sheet of the sukkah. And even then, he said, you have the schach on top, which is shaped like a filter, where the schach filters out any of the havolim roim, and it only allows go into the sukkah the havolim nikdusha.
So that would mean it'd be better for a person not to leave his house and just do his bodhus in his house or in a basement, if he's not go out into the woods like the Yari or Yari Yerushalayim is told. There's no sin chil Shabbos.
The Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the advantages of talking to Hashem among the grass, among the trees. There are certain positive things, but I would think that if a person knows that it's a place of sin, bedafka, could be that that has a negative hashpo also. Could be that that's a justification for, you know, L'choimi bo b'chadarayach, we've had it. Rav Nosson Zal quotes that pasuk a few times, that one of the best places for a spoidedus is in a private room. Each thing has its advantages.
Also, the Rebbe says that it's better for a person to go out in the middle of the night to a place where people are not there.
Exactly.
And a place that they're not there during the day.
Exactly. A place which people don't frequent at all, because there, the avir, the air is calm, you know, not on a spiritual level. There's no disturbances near that are caused in the stock. You go to stock exchange floor, where during the day there's so much hustle bustle, and then at night it closes down, and to you it looks as if everything is still, but you don't know how turbulent the air is simply from the fact that during the day there was so much action going on there.